Blog Talk Radio.
To be speaking with the lovely, the awesome, the talented, the beautiful, my weight loss sister Journey Phoenix C. Brown. Let me introduce her. She came onto the scene in 2011 with her debut novel, Beautifully Imperfect. Readers fell in love with the main characters, Malik and Rebecca, and they begged for a sequel. Never one to disappoint, she released All That Matters in the end of 2012. Her readers have deemed her the Mary J. Blige of the book world, and that's a badge she proudly wears. I love that. Anyone who has struggled to keep a relationship, experience the joy and pain that love can bring and renewing of oneself through life lessons will enjoy Phoenix's work. Her way of telling a story is so relatable that readers will oftentimes see themselves or others in the characters she writes. Her spellbinding way of pulling the reader in will have you feeling like you are eavesdropping on a personal conversation, and that's how I felt when I was reading Back to Basics, but I digress. And she will have you laughing, crying, and cursing with every page. Phoenix lists Eric Jerome Dickey, Carl Weber, Omar Tyree, Terry McMillan, and the late, great Elin Harris as influences on her writing. Her goal is to take on an emotional ride while still delivering an entertaining, relatable story when she isn't giving in to the characters in her head. She spends her free time with her husband and two kids. Okay, I am so excited. I'm trying not to curse because I have a potty mouth, but I am excited. And let's bring the fabulous Phoenix onto the call. Hello,
hello,
sweetie. Can you hear me?
Hey, I can hear you. Good morning.
Good morning. Did you hear me read your fabulous bio?
Yes, I did. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're so creative. I absolutely love the description. You know, for all the listeners out there, we've been planning this interview for about 2 or 3 weeks, and Phoenix is just such a baby doll. She's been promoting her little Took Us Off and answering my questions late night, and I, in my ignorance, did not even know that she was on the other side of the country. So I would bother her all times of day or night, not thinking about the time difference and stuff. My mind can't wrap around that concept. I'm just like, I'm up, everybody in the world is up, and I need this. And she's been a doll baby throughout the whole
time. You
process.
Know, writers
so
don't
I'm
sleep.
Gonna,
huh? I said writers don't sleep. So I said writers don't sleep. So I was there.
And Tommy, do you suffer from it too?
Yeah. Sometimes
so
I do.
You
know what it is?
Night,
it's the characters. It's the characters in my head. I'm like, let me sleep, and they won't let me sleep, man.
I'm telling you, and I be talking to my boyfriend like it's people I know. And he'd be like, huh? He'd be like, at your job? And I'm like, no.
Me too. Me too. It's a blessing and a curse, I'll tell you.
So, all right, let's get into your business. Before we talk about your books, I want to know about the process. I want to know, when do you start writing? How long does it take you to write? All the, you know, the average questions. So just regale me with your story, sweetheart.
Okay, so I can't even pinpoint when I started writing because I feel like I've been doing it forever. You know, I've always been a reader ever since I was a little girl. I was the little girl sleeping with, you know, books and Disney records in her bed versus baby dolls. So as I got older, I think I really started enjoying writing probably around the third or fourth grade. It was just an outlet for me. I kept a diary and that type of thing. And, you know, it just kind of grew from there. And then I used to write poems and people started paying me to do their little Valentine's Day cards, you know. So it's okay. Just been something that's always been ingrained. It's just been something always ingrained in me. I mean, I used to, you know, my friends would get in arguments when we were in, like, junior high, high school, when you know, all before text messaging and stuff, when you just have to fold our letters. And they would say, you know, I really want to say this. And I'm like, well, I'll write it for you. You know, so I'd write their little letters and give it to them to pass on to the little boyfriends and stuff. So it's always kind of been something that's been ingrained in me. It's just when you think Phoenix or when I think Phoenix, I've always been a writer.
So you have extensive experience with the love that you be writing in these stories since you started out in grade school.
Oh yeah. Every character that I write probably has a combination of at least three or four people that I know within that character.
Awesome. Now let's fast forward. Now you're married, you have two kids, you have a full time job. How? And you're such a good mommy. I always see the little pictures of you at the games. Oh, she's such a good mommy. How do you have the time to crank out this awesome novel?
You know, I don't know. Honestly, the simple answer is it's God, because he manages to you know, make me make time some kind of way. But my thing is that, I mean, in reality, I do sacrifice some things, you know, like, my friendships. Sometimes, you know, I'm like, I'm writing a book, so I'm not going nowhere. I'm not doing anything. I'm not calling nobody. I'm not texting nobody. Like, I kind of put everyone on hold. But with those inside my household, I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? I still have to be wifey. Yeah. I still have to be, you know, mommy. You know, I still got to go to work and do my daily duties at work. So sometimes it's like, okay, what can I sacrifice? You know, or I'm sitting at the game and I'm typing, you know, something comes to my head and I'm typing it out on my phone and emailing it to myself. So, I mean, it's a sacrifice, you know, that I have to make, but I do it because I love it. So, you know, sometimes you just have to do those things, you know.
With the weaving in and out of, you know, going to work, going to your kids' games, cooking, take care of your household and stuff like that, how do you find the time? You say you email yourself while you're at the game and you type it out on your phone, but, like, do you block hours in your day? Like, how long did Back to Basics take you to write?
Back to Basics? Okay, so this is what's weird, right? So you wanted to know about my writing process, so I'm going to kind of answer that in my writing process. So what typically happens is I'll hear a phrase or I'll have a dream or something will pop up to me, and then I'll start writing it down, right? And then a character will come to me. So the way all of my books have come about, the titles were something that popped into my head that I've based the book around, okay? So what typically happens is I come up with the title first, and then character, like, honest to God, it's like I'm like a psychic for book characters or something, because they come through to me, like, it's like if I'm channeling them. So I'm serious. It's so weird. It is so weird. But a character will come through to me, and then I'll listen, you know, I'll type out whatever that character is giving me at the moment. But when they stop talking to me, I stop writing, because I can't force it. So then when they come back to me, like, I have so many books that I've started that I haven't written because the characters just stopped talking. So then once the characters start talking to me, my husband and my kids, they, you know, the first time around, they were kind of like, you know, we're having to share mommy. I'm not really feeling it. But now they get it, you know what I mean? So there's times I'll sit in the living room and we're watching a basketball game and I'll have my laptop out and I'm just typing, and, you know, I'm engaged with them as much as I can, but then there's moments where I might get to a sensitive part of the story where I just need to be shut off, and I'll come in my room and close the door, you know, or I'll tell them, you know, I have to get this part out, and they kind of work with me. So it's kind of like my family's figured out the schedule, so to speak. And like I said, and when it comes to games, because both of my kids are very active in basketball and stuff like that, my son's a basketball coach, things like that. So when it comes to games and being supportive of them, then I'll kind of put things on the back burner and just say, okay, you know what, that character's going to have to hold off for a second because I have to be present in these moments. But when I'm at home, it's kind of like free reign for me to just type it out.
That's awesome. It's awesome that your family has gotten it and allowed you to do that, because that's the hardest battle. The hardest battle.
Yeah.
Like, I have an office in my home, you know, for my writing that I share with my boyfriend, and his real estate office as well. But I have a sign on my door that says writing in process. I'm going to tell you how these people disrespect that sign. Every day of my life, they open the door. My next step is to put a lock on the door, but I don't want to be that, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be that cut off from my family, because they are the reason for the season. They are what's important.
Exactly. And I think it's definitely what people, I think, don't understand is, writers, we kind of operate a little bit differently, you know what I mean? Like, we see, you know, the superstars, the music stars, the actors, you know, that type of people. We see what they do. But writers are kind of like silent rock stars in an extent, you know what I mean? It's like people around us, they don't see us dancing and performing, but they see us, you know, typing and doing that type of thing. So they don't get to see the performance, quote unquote, until we release the book. Then they're like, oh, okay, I get it. This is what she's been, you know, not taking my calls for. This is what she's been, you know, missing out on these events for, because she was doing this. But there's a delicate balance to that, and I'm still trying to figure out how to balance it, you know, the right way, because you do want to hang with your friends and you do want to, you know, be in, you know, the phone calls and that type of thing. But then at the same time, I feel like now I have an obligation to my readers as well. So when I say to them, I'm going to have a book out, I don't want to keep putting them on hold either, because they're just as important to me as everybody else in my life.
And I love that you're achieving that balance. It really is a tight one. When I started this show, I wanted to, you know, really dig into the process of other writers and stuff like that, because I know that our struggles and our walks are similar, but I also know it's not commonplace. You know, it's not, people don't realize what it is that you have to sacrifice to bring a book out, to release a good book, to go over it and to really think out the process and the plot and stuff like that. Because I tell everybody, I can write a book in a week. You know, it will be garbage.
Yeah.
But I can give it to you next week if you want it.
Exactly.
To make
and
it,
definitely,
to make it, like, give it that page-turning quality, which Back to Basic has, by the way. I have been reading this
book. Oh,
thank
you.
and all, you know, on and off, since you sent it to me, like my one co-host before you, I have not finished the book, and I have a little attitude with you because I have things that I have to do with my life that I can't get to while I'm reading Back to Basics. So, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to thank you because these past couple of days has been really hard for me. I've been really, really struggling and going through, you know, personal and professional storms, and your book was the outlet that I needed. Like, I was just, yesterday, you know, so much had happened in your life, because life doesn't care about your little paltry plans. It doesn't. I got a glass of wine, and I went back to the land of Kenya, and was really engrossed in That's what books are supposed to do. They're supposed to provide a vacation from life. I hate to read a book and still be aware of my surroundings. I don't want that. You're not doing your job as a writer, in my opinion, if you can't take me away from this bullshit.
No, I hear you. And that's always been my goal. And honestly, when I first put out Beautifully Imperfect, it was just a personal goal of mine. You know, one of my high school teachers, we were really close at the time, and I was talking to her, and she, you know, I was a Maya Angelou fan, loved her, rest in peace, my queen. But
yes.
I was always into Maya Angelou, and my teacher, you know, I would write short stories, because it was my English teacher, so I'd write short stories and things of that nature. And when I graduated, she wrote my yearbook, you know, you're destined for great things, like the Maya Angelou before you, you know, you're destined to infect people with your words. And at the time I read it, I'm like, oh, okay, that's sweet. Yeah, thank you, whatever. You know what I mean? But then as I wrote Beautifully Imperfect, I would let my friends read it, and they'd be like, okay, what's happening next? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And then when I sent it to a publishing company initially, and they said, you know, it doesn't really fit a genre. We don't really know where to put this, so it's not something that we can work with. So I said, okay, you know, heartbroken, of course. But then I said, if it's meant to be, it'll be. And then fast forward 5 years later, I'm having a general conversation with a coworker, and they say, well, you know, CreateSpace is an Amazon company, and you can publish it through there. You can self-publish it. And I was like, what? So I researched it, and I did it, and I put out Beautifully Imperfect. And you just kind of think, you know, there's going to be your friends and family that buy it. So it is what it is. It was a personal goal. That was it. But as I started getting reviews and I started not recognizing the names, and there was people saying, I identify with Rebecca, or I identify with this person, or I identify with that person, then it became to me like, wow, people are really connecting to these people that I've created. You know what I'm saying? And so then when All That Matters came out, it was the same thing. People were saying, like, I connect to this. This takes me away from my everyday life. This takes me away from this, this, or that. And then I did, like, a couple of little short stories, and it was the same thing. So for me, like I said, one reader told me, you know what, you remind me of Mary J. Blige. Like, I can put in a Mary J. Blige CD, and she's going to take me from the highs to the lows back to the highs, and that's how I feel when I read your book. And for me, that was the ultimate comment, because I love me some Mary J. Blige. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I just kind of ran with that, because I do want to give you realistic fiction. I'm not knocking, you know, urban literature or anything like that at all, but for me, sometimes I just want to read about people that are like me. You know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily want to read about the hood dude that you know, shooting the dice and doing the dough and blah, blah, blah. Like, those people exist. But for me and my demographic, I grew up reading Eric Jerome Dickey and Omar Tyree and Elin Harris, and I identify with the characters and the things that the characters went through. So my writing kind of resembles theirs to the extent that, you know, like Carl Weber, he was one of the first ones I've ever read that had, you know, the title of the person, and then it's from the person's point of view. So I kind of started thinking, well, you know what, I kind of like that idea of me writing from each person's point of view and carrying the story along. So in my previous books, there's really not chapters. It's more of like a movie, and you're just going from one person's point of view to the other person's point of view. With Back to Basics, I wanted to do something different. So I'm a music lover, and so I was listening to music while I was creating, you know, the book. And a lot of the songs that I've selected for the chapter titles are actually songs that I was listening to while I was writing that chapter. And so for me, I was like, well, you know what, let me just put this in the book as this is the soundtrack, because maybe people, when they read it, it's just like when you see Love Jones, you know, and you remember that song from Love Jones and that scene from Love Jones. When people hear certain songs now, I want them to feel like, oh, I remember Kevin in that moment or Kenya in that moment. And a lot of the songs that I have on here are jazz songs, because the tone of the book, it's not really it's more of a like a sensual, you know, jazz feel. Like, I want you to feel the horns as they're playing and it's building, and then I want you to feel that drum kick in and be like, oh, okay, I know what's going to happen. And right when you think you got that beat, something else kind of soothes you back out. That's the feel that I want people to have with Back to Basics.
And that is the feel that you achieved. And when I was reading it last night, I was in bed with Moroi, and I said, This I need cognac. You know, I don't have any. But I need some cognac to be reading this book. But let me just stop you for a second and read the description that she sent me on one of my little late night joints. I said, well, you know, describe, you know, the book to me. And she sent me a description of the book via Facebook. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to read the synopsis on the back of the book. Mm-hmm. So Phoenix says, Back to Basics is like sipping a glass of cognac while smoking a cigar and listening to jazz. The saxophone starts off playing a lonely tune, but the snare of the drum slowly starts to sneak in, and the piano joins the melody. Once you think you have the groove, the bass kicks in, and the trumpet sound, and there's another vibe that enters. While giving you the smooth jazz vibe, the vocalist steps to the mic, and you are left with the loneliness of the blues. Oh my God, isn't she so fucking talented?
I said I wasn't going to swear, but I
can't help that. I was like, that is so awesome. And you're such a little creative person. Before you jump in, let me read the synopsis to Back to Basics. So everybody knows, and this is available. Everybody, please go to Amazon. I share the link on my Facebook page. Please support this book. It is beautifully written, and if you need a vacation from life's bullshit, $5.99 on Kindle. It'll get you there. So,
yeah, actually, yeah. And before you read the synopsis, it'll be available via paperback on April 30th via Amazon, and I wasn't going to put it on ebook initially, but I've had a lot of people inbox me saying, please put it on ebook. So ebook will be available on May 7th.
Are y'all excited? Like y'all should be excited. Like, this is one talented sister. And I have shared the link. Please pre-order the book. And you're really taking your time. I'm so proud of you for taking your time with this release. I don't know anything about that. Like, I was like, someone come back from that and just okay. Here you go, people. I don't have book plan. I shouldn't lie. I have scheduled plan releases. I have charts on my thing for the way it's going to go, and then I get it back from the editor and I put it up. Fuck all that. Everybody is available now. So you have great patience with this book release. You're such a little professional. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
I am so proud of you. Like, everybody doesn't, like, believe me. Like, I create these platforms for my fellow authors because I know that, you know, it's hard. It's very, very hard to promote and, you know, publish your book and make a name for yourself. And I've made a name for myself, and I have an awesome platform. So I want to share it. But I don't share it with everyone. You know, I kind of moved away from that because I said I'm going to pinpoint the people who are working, who are pursuing their dreams, and just need a little bullhorn of that. And I'm so proud of you. I saw when you were writing Back to Basics, and just the effort and the thought that you were putting in your promotion of the book, I was like, oh, my God, I got to get on the show. I need everybody to know about Phoenix and what she's doing here.
Thank you so much. And you know what? And honestly, mm-hmm. I appreciate it because the lady that won the contest is going to get all three of my books autographed is Patricia Ballantine. I hope I said that right. But her question was, you know, what's the hardest part of the literary process? And that is the hardest part. It's not writing the book. It's getting people to promote you, to buy the book, to share the links. You know, it's like people tell me all the time, oh, I love your work. And I'm like, okay, well, just share the link. Buy it for your friend. Spread the word, you know, because that's the hardest part. And eventually with this, you know, my next goal is to turn these books into plays. That's really what I want to see. I don't necessarily, I mean, if it hits the movie theater, God bless me, that would be awesome. But my next step is I really want to see, you know, actors and actresses reciting my words on a stage somewhere. So it's in process. I'm working on it.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited for that. And I'm going to say it live on the air that you put on a play, I'm flying to Cali to come see it.
You, if you put one of these books on the play, I will fly to Cali. It's recorded. You can hold me to that. I will fly over, across the country to come see it because I just think that's so awesome. And I just want, I really want to read this synopsis. I want everybody to know about this book. And then we're going to repeat the contest winner because Phoenix, she's just been so on point. Oh, my God, you're so on point. The contest winner is Patricia Ballantyne. Yes, girl, because, child, you know, life is kicking your girl's butt right now. And I got all these irons in the fire, so I really appreciate a co-host that's going to help me remember stuff.
Girl, no Patricia problem. Ballantyne, I appreciate just being given a chance.
Is the contest winner. Her question, we asked everybody to put their questions up on the Facebook event page, and everybody replied with beautiful questions, but this is the one that me and Phoenix said was the best. And we chose your question. What is your biggest challenges as a writer? She just answered it. You will receive not one, not two, but all three of her books autographed because she is so generous and paying it forward. And before we run out of time, please, please, please listen to the synopsis of Back to Basics. Kenya has always been the dependable go-to friend and daughter. When a family secret is revealed, she realizes that she can't trust anybody, not even her own mother. Rocked by the revelations, Kenya embarks on a journey of discovering who she is when she's not the support system of everyone else. Kevin is tired of the fast life. He's ready to settle down and find a wife. The remnants of his last relationship has left him jaded. Between trying to follow his dreams and run from the past, he's had little time to focus on what he truly wants, love. When the paths of Kenya and Kevin cross, it's almost like fate stepped in and guided them to each other. But where there is fate, there must be faith because the devil is not far behind. Will they be able to navigate the storms or will they let the tsunami of life destroy what they want to build? Child, how long did it take you to write that?
Girl, you know, okay, so it's funny because I came up with the title and then I wrote my notes about what I wanted each character to go through. And so what you just read are my notes.
Oh, my God, that's so awesome because that is so beautifully written. Like, who doesn't want to read that now? Everybody wants to read that. I probably should. Everybody wants to read that now. Okay, we have two minutes left to the show. So I want you to tell everybody where they can find you, how they can support you, what's available. Go.
Okay. So back to basics. The pre-orders are over, so everyone should be receiving their pre-orders within the next few days. April 30th will be the official book release of Back to Basics. It will be available on Amazon.com. Just search Phoenix C. Brown, and all of my book titles will come up. Again, ebook. Thank God that I have a lot of readers that were nagging me and said, please, 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 please put it on ebook. So it's going to be on ebook. That will be available for pre-order. I need to check Amazon today, but it will be released on May 7th. And if it's available for pre-order, I'll start posting the links. Social media, just Google Phoenix C. Brown. You'll find me on Twitter. You'll find me on Pinterest. You'll find me on Facebook. You'll find me on Instagram under Mrs. Brown _09. And other than that, I am thankful, Ms. Julia, for this opportunity to talk to you and be on your show and expose myself to hopefully new readers. And I'm thankful to everyone that has left a question or sent me well wishes, logged in, all that beautiful things. I'm very blessed. I'm very grateful. Tomorrow's my birthday, so I like to say I'm 39 years blessed. Not, thank you. I'm not 39 years old. I'm 39 years blessed because my life has been a blessing, the ups, the downs, the joys, the sorrows. It's all led me to where I'm at. So I have no complaints. I'm grateful.
We're the same age, except I'll be 39 in June, so you're so much older than me.
That's okay. I'm 39. I'm a little bit more blessed than you. We'll do that.
Yes, you're a little bit more blessed
I've had a little
than
more
me.
Life
I will
experience.
Cop to that. Thank you so much.
But thank you so much.
This has been an awesome interview.
Thank you, sweetheart. Bye-bye. You have a wonderful day. Everybody have a beautiful day. Thank you for logging in.